taken from 1 Kings chapter 8, verses 22 to 30, and can be found on page 345 of the Church Bibles. Then Solomon stood before the altar of the Lord in front of the whole assembly of Israel, spread out his hands towards heaven and said, Lord, the God of Israel, there is no God like you in heaven above or on earth below. You who keep your covenant of love with your servants, who continue wholeheartedly in your way. You kept your promise to your servant David, my father, with your mouth you have promised, and with your hand you have fulfilled it, as it is today. Now, Lord, the God of Israel, keep for your servant David, my father, the promises you made to him when you said, You shall never fail to have a successor to sit before me on the throne of Israel, if only your descendants are careful in all they do to walk before me faithfully as you have done. And now, God of Israel, let your word that you promised your servant David, my father, come true. But will God really dwell on earth? The heavens, even the highest heaven, cannot contain you. How much less this temple I have built. Yet give attention to your servant's prayer and his plea for mercy. Lord my God, hear the cry and prayer that your servant is praying in your presence this day. May your eyes be open towards this temple night and day, this place of which you said, My name shall be there, so that you will hear the prayer of your servant praise towards this place. Hear the supplication of your servant and of your people Israel when they pray towards this place. Hear from heaven your dwelling place, and when you hear, forgive. This is the word of the Lord.
And the second reading is found on page 1071 in the back of the Church Bible. It's John chapter 6. And it takes place while Jesus is teaching the Jews in the synagogue in Capernaum. So Jesus says, verse 56, Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood remains in me, and I in them. Just as the living Father sent me, and I live because of the Father, so the one who feeds on me will live because of me. This is the bread that came down from heaven. Your ancestors ate manna and died, but whoever feeds on this bread will live forever. He said this while teaching in the synagogue in Capernaum. On hearing it, many of his disciples said, This is a hard teaching. Who can accept it? Aware that his disciples were grumbling about this, Jesus said to them, Does this offend you? Then what if you see the Son of Man ascend to where he was before? The Spirit gives life. The flesh counts for nothing. The words I have spoken to you, they are full of the Spirit and life. Yet there are some of you who do not believe, for Jesus had known from the beginning which of them did not believe and who would betray him. He went on to say, This is why I told you that no one can come to me unless the Father has enabled them. From this time, many of his disciples turned back and no longer followed him. You do not want to leave too, do you? Jesus asked the 12. Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. We have come to believe and to know that you are the Holy One of God. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Morning, everybody. Oh, good. Coming out loud and clear. Shall we pray? Jesus, we thank you that you are the Holy One. And as we come to you today, and we listen to your word, and we hear what that word is, we ask, Lord, that what you say to us will be filled in our hearts, that your Spirit will come upon us, and all the words that we say, that we hear, we will take to our hearts and feed on them. Amen. I could ask you a question. How many times do you start something so enthusiastically, but after a while you give it up? And I doubt that there are, isn't anybody in this room who hasn't done something that they've given up in time? You know, are there times when you're really excited about something in an event or a task, but after a while you rather feel let down because it doesn't quite work out how you wanted it to? Our neighbour next door, for many years, had on his driveway a vintage car. And we asked him about it many times. He was working on it because he was going to sell it eventually, I assume at some profit. And it was a project for him. He was going to get this done up. He was going to get this rather tatty-looking MG, looking like one of those sort that you could get from the showroom. And it was there for, well, we moved into our house in 1990. I don't remember it not being there then. And it was sold a year ago. He sold it. So he's had this thing for about 30 years, let's just say. And it didn't look very much different to the day that we first saw it. So I think that was a project that took a long time in the making. And even if some of the things that we do, these projects, they're not as big, we all start these various tasks, don't we? You know, New Year's resolutions, go to the gym, take up the subscription. But I bet 6 months later, a lot of us give it up. And we just don't, you know, can't do it. Knitting or sewing projects, anything like that. I can't imagine that in people's houses there's loads of unfinished things that they would have started, but they've given up, even after a few months. So in the passage that's been read to us today from John, we see that many of the disciples give up. They leave Jesus. So what is it that has made them leave? And how does that help us to think about today, about the things we do and how we treat Jesus? Firstly, I think we need to look about the context of the times in those following the leaders and the teachers in the times that they saw them. Israel, as we know it was then, was of course ruled by the Romans. There was not a much love lost between the Romans and the Jews at the time. They were seen as occupiers. And in towns and in villages all around Israel, they were looking for a Messiah. But their imagination of this man that was going to come was a conquering hero. One who would take on the Romans and remove them from their country. There were many pretenders to this ideology, and Jesus comes in and offers a completely different perspective. The hope of a victorious warrior was not what Jesus was about. Secondly, we need to look about what our modern day media circus is like. We can see things on the television. We can see things on video, we can see things in all sorts of ways that was just not available at that time. If you wanted to listen to the rabbi speak or to a preacher, then you had to go out and follow them for wherever they were. Hence the reasons we had large crowds around Jesus. At the beginning of his ministry, word would have got round the whole of Israel that there was a man who was preaching and teaching, who spoke with authority, but also had miracles that he performed. People felt they needed to see Jesus, and some continued on following him. It shouldn't really come as any surprise that this large group of people followed Jesus, and Jesus, being aware of this, starts to tell them some difficult teaching. He sort of weeds out those who are not committed to him. Was this really difficult teaching? In some ways, it really wasn't. It was about relying on Jesus and Jesus being the Word and the Spirit. Or was it actually something they actually didn't want to hear? In verses 56 to 59, Jesus sets out who he is and why this makes a difference. He notes that God has provided manna for the people when they were in the desert some years before, and this indeed did give them life. But they would all eventually die. The manna was only there for a short time. He contrasts this with his words and teaching. This is the true bread of life. While other forms of bread will give life on earth, the bread Jesus gives will allow us to have eternal life. Last week, Andy was talking about the importance of bread, if you were here last week, and this being a special bread which no other bread could provide. Yes, bread is sustenance, but the bread Jesus gives is the one that provides us with our spirit and our life. So at this point, the teaching becomes too difficult. Or it's not what they want to hear. They want to hear about conquering, removing the Romans, not about relying or being part of God and Jesus being the Spirit and the Word of life. Essentially, Jesus is saying he is the way to God. Other things around them will give them earthly pleasure, but that's it. Finding someone who could defeat the Romans is a bit of an earthly pleasure. It will be successful at the time. If you think about it, we don't have the Romans around now. They have gone. And neither will any of the institutions that we have today and our government and all that. In 100 years' time, they will all be gone. The words of Jesus and Jesus as our Saviour and that we can rely upon stays with us forever. Jesus was not afraid to teach this in the synagogue. He knew that this was his place and his words should be in God's house. He knew the synagogue in Capernaum very well. He'd spoken there many times, and Capernaum was just outside of Nazareth, to be as far away, to not be in his hometown. So he was very familiar there. John here is giving us some detail about the context, where Jesus is, and how important the message is. So this leads us back to the beginning. What staying power did these disciples have to continue to follow him? Don't forget, having many followers was important. Someone was going to need to continue the teaching when Jesus was not there. Surely, in the world's terms, losing so many followers wasn't a very good idea. But actually, 12 disciples did exactly that. They changed the world with a very small amount of people. For many of those followers, this had started as a good project. Jesus said the right things. He was able to perform incredible miracles, but now they seemed tired of it. The teaching is becoming too difficult, not what they want to hear. They now want to give up and probably find another teacher who is easier to understand, or even saying that's what they want to hear. Sometimes there are people who go from church to church to hear a message, to hear what they want to hear. Yet the church is the same in lots of ways. Jesus is very aware of what's going on. He again tells them the same message. The words I have spoken to you, they are full of the Spirit and life. It's very easy for us to start projects and then abandon them. Sometimes we're often like those disciples who just gave up. Projects become too difficult, or they don't excite us anymore, and then we tend to walk away. In the same way, people's relationships with Jesus can be just like this. They start hearing the gospel, they become excited, but then they find that following Jesus is actually quite hard. It can be too difficult. When we give our lives to Jesus, we can trust that he will give us the words that are full of life. Lots of you will probably remember the big evangelical missions that took place, certainly during the 60s and again during the 80s, many run by Billy Graham that happened here, but there were others as well. And many people gave their lives to Jesus at these missions. There are still those who are still faithfully serving in churches today. But I have a suspicion that there are many too who have walked away. It must have been so exciting to have that life-changing experience. But perhaps after talking to family, going to churches and finding out it's not quite the same as a big evangelical mission, it's meant these people have just walked away. For some, when life has become too difficult, they walk away from the one who is truth and life. And so, what about those who are left? Just 12 from probably what might have been hundreds. Jesus gives them the option to leave as well. Jesus never forces himself upon anybody. And even us are free to leave at any time. But the disciples didn't. Simon Peter recognises this. There isn't no one else to go to, because Jesus has the words of eternal life. I'm thinking earlier on when we were worshipping that he may have been helped by some of the songs we sang. And the angels cry, holy. And creation sings, holy. You are lifted high, holy, holy forever. Nothing compares to the promise I have in you. Some of those words which Pat's Peter was trying to express about how and what he recognised Jesus was. He recognised who Jesus is, the Holy One, and staying with him had now become important. They would go on to risk their lives because they understood that eternal life came through Jesus and not through anybody else. So what does it mean for us? Our focus needs to be on the one who is holy, the Holy One of God. As we progress through life, no doubt we will encounter times when we feel excited, but also times when we let go of things. It's important to remember that staying with Jesus is vital because he has the words of eternal life. When it's difficult, when it's not exciting, when we feel let down? The answer is to turn to the bread of life. Go to Jesus and feed on his word. Let's pray. Father, we just thank you that you are the bread of life. You are the one who we can go to, who will not change, but who will tell us over and over again that you love us and will look after us. In our hearts today, just let us accept this and turn to you and keep on your word and within your spirit. Amen.